Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 8th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, Tim Ma. Fucking Geddes.
Les, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Tim. I'm doing pretty good this Monday morning.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
You're doing a little too good, because last night we hung out at Imran the Don Khan's house. We played some Mario Party, and your bitch ass got so lucky. I got so unlucky. For so long, I had zero coins and zero stars. It was some broke boy shit, and Bless is out here. How many stars do you have? 13, 14? It was fucking bullshit.
Listen, all I can say is I was balling, and here's the thing, Tim. Some people would say that Mario Party is rigged. Some people would say that Mario Party is a game that robs you in the end. I'm somebody that says Mario Party is a game of skill, and it's a game of talent, and it's a game of effort. And that's what I put in last night. And I came out victorious twice in a row.
Yeah.
A fantastic run in Mario Party last night. So I'm feeling great this morning.
Well deserved. Well deserved, Bless.
How are you feeling about Mario Party? I know we did our review, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? A few times a flat circle. How are you feeling about it now?
You know, it's such a blast. Like, I think it's just such a great game to get a group of people together and have fun. You just have to make sure that group of people knows what they're getting into. Because, like, it doesn't matter how nice you are in real life. Like, that game changes you. And it tests your relationships in a way that no other thing possibly can. So you just need to know what you're getting into. But I will say that so far, we've pretty much played the Yoshi Island level or the birthday cake level, and the birthday cake level sucks.
Right.
It's just like, it is so not fun. I love the shifting back and forth of the island. It just adds some fun.
I do like the boys. We haven't played the spooky level together. I do like the spooky level as well. You mentioned that the birthday cake level sucked before we actually chose it. And I hadn't played the birthday cake since the N64. And I remember it being a hit. I remember back in the day, we all loved that level. And I think that was probably purely aesthetic, because it was me and my three older sisters that would play that Mario Party game. And I think they always chose the birthday cake just because, like, it's a cute map to play on. It has good music, all this stuff. But playing it this time around, by the time we got halfway through the match, I was like, yeah, no, I see what Tim's saying. This kind of sucks. Like, the gimmick there is very much, hey, just, like, land on a space and pay some money and you might steal a star. Versus the Yoshi stage, the two island stage, is very much about strategy, and it's very much about, like, it's about placement, and it's about, like, foreseeing, is the star going to change islands? And is it worth it to be on the island with the boo that is going to sell me somebody else's star?
Exactly.
And do I want the benefits of being on the left island and getting the 10 coin gift every single round? Like, there's a lot that's in play in the Yoshi's Island that turns it into a game of skill until you get to the bonus stars round, which, you know, will rob
God
you.
Bless.
But
God bless.
Man, God bless. Tim. Let's talk about some video game news. Today's stories include New Horizon Forbidden West gameplay details, a Mass Effect 4 tease, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, in case you missed it, Extra Life was this last weekend, and it was a blast. You all showed up to help support the Children's Miracle Network hospitals, and we streamed for 12 hours straight. Right now, you can catch up on the shenanigans over on youtube.com/kindafunnyplays, where we uploaded all the segments of the stream. You can also still donate and support Extra Life by going to kindafunny.com/extralife. Mm-hmm. Also, P.S. Love You XOXO is recording later this afternoon for Patreon. We're creating our definitive 2021 PlayStation holiday shopping guide. Right now, you can write in with your submissions for games, accessories, and PlayStation-related items that people should pick up this holiday season for Janet and me to talk about. That episode will be live for everyone on Tuesday on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and on podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Pranksy and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Shin Megami Tensei 5, Credit Karma, Raycon, and Arcane. But we'll tell you about that later. Also, that is a fantastic lineup of sponsors. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
Baker's Dozen.
Starting with a really good one. This morning, the PlayStation blog dropped a gameplay deep dive, is what I'm going to call it. They talked about some of the gameplay elements that are going to be in the new Horizon Forbidden West game coming out in February. I'm going to pull from Jared Moore at IGN, who helps kind of condense it down because it is a long PlayStation blog post that people can go check out if they want all the nitty-gritty details. But IGN helps condense it. And before I even get into it, like, Tim, now that we're getting closer and closer to February and the wave of video games that are going to come through, what are your hype levels specifically for Horizon Forbidden West?
Very high. I feel like this is going to be one that is a showpiece title for what the PlayStation 5 can do. I know it's cross-gen as well, but still, everything that we've seen about this a couple weeks ago before this gameplay deep dive, there was the kind of combat traversal breakdown that they did, and everything they're saying got me so excited. Like, paired with the gifts of seeing Aloy kind of move around, like she has the little like glider thing, like the hook shot type stuff, like it looks like it's just going to be fun to move around. And I think that is something that when you look at PlayStation's first party lineup and you look at their kind of like at this point classic titles that they're putting out, there's, you know, a lot of people think, okay, behind the back, third person, like over the shoulder type, yeah, Last of Us like gameplay,
Resident
right?
Evil 4 type gameplay.
Exactly. But I feel like things like Spider-Man are opening that up where there is this like momentum and traversal element that Horizon seems to be trying to match. And that is extremely exciting to me.
Yeah, I'm in the same place. I'm super excited for this. And yeah, that last PlayStation State of Play where they broke down Horizon Forbidden West focused a lot on combat and traversal. And this PlayStation blog dives deeper into combat and traversal as well. It seems like that is going to be the thing that they try to improve the most in this game, because that is what they are talking about the most. And yeah, I think you do. You make a great point bringing up Spider-Man as like an example of like, hey, this is how you move through a video game, right? This is how you can move through an open world game. And I think Breath of the Wild is one that I always reference. But like when you talk about the climbing and talk about the glider and all these things, those are a lot of things that you had in Breath of the Wild as well. And like one of the reasons I love that game was for the traversal and getting around the environment and how that game opened up. And I love that it seems like those are the two focuses, right? Traversal and then combat. Because I think when I think of Horizon Zero Dawn, I do think of how that game has very unique combat in terms of the focus on the long distance stuff. And we're going to get into it, of course. Like this blog talks about some of the long distance weapons that they continue to evolve and implement in this game, but then also a lot of the improvements on melee stuff, which has me very excited because that was one of my complaints when it came to the original Horizon Zero Dawn. I didn't love the melee combat. But Tim, let's get into it. I'm going to divide this into the two parts, right? So let's start with traversal. As February's release of Horizon Forbidden West draws near, Guerrilla has updated fans on some of the new abilities that players will be able to utilize across combat and exploration in the game, including a grapple and glider, as well as some fun new combat techniques. In a post focusing on traversal published by the PlayStation blog, Guerrilla spoke further about some of the new tools that players will have, as well as factors that have influenced Forbidden West's new combat decisions. Lead systems designer David McMullen explained that a new high vault mechanic, quote, essentially allows Aloy to hoist herself on top of any object of jumpable height with room to pull up. Combined with the ability to free climb and adding grapples to our environment, the potential for exploration is greatly increased, end quote. He also explained more about the Polecaster and Shieldwing, two new tools shown off back in June. The Polecaster is multifunction and primarily works much like you'd expect a grapple hook in a game to function. However, it has a second function as a winch, which means, quote, the player can dynamically manipulate, move, and destroy the objects in the environment, according to McMullen. They continue, quote, think about pulling a hidden loot chest from a ledge or tearing open a vent to create a new climb path, he adds. McMullen also explained that the additions to climbing and traversal mechanics can be mixed up with Aloy's new Shieldwing glider. Quote, the Shieldwing combines well with numerous other mechanics, both in and out of combat, such as landing on your mount, ziplining, the strike from above skill, and more, end quote. From there, I am going to jump directly into where they talk about combat. And again,
first off, I just want to give major shout out to Polecaster and Shieldwing. Hell yeah.
Great names.
You just
great
made that names. Shit sound cooler than it was. That's great.
Let's jump into combat. Again, I'm still pulling from IGN. Elsewhere in the blog post, the studio discussed the changes it's making to combat. Guerrilla has completely redesigned Horizon's skill tree and included workbenches that allow players a greater degree of customization when upgrading weapons, which I absolutely love. As well as changing the way that players modify their weapons to suit a given playstyle, the studio is also bringing melee and ranged combat closer together. Guerrilla's lead combat designer, Dennis Zoffi, offered an example of how the two aspects work together in Forbidden West combat system. Quote, a new example of a skill that does this is the Resonator Blast, where you charge up the spear with melee hits, and when fully powered up, the energy can be placed on enemies, humans and machines alike, and followed up with a projectile, resulting in a big damaging explosion, end quote. In Horizon Zero Dawn, Aloy will have a number of her old weapons back. I guess they mean Horizon Forbidden West. In Horizon Forbidden West, Aloy will have a number of her old weapons back to fight off the various enemies and machines that the game throws at her. Zoffi states that Forbidden West will look to give these weapons a, quote, stronger personality, allowing players to draw upon their strengths in given situations. New weapons will be added too, such as the Spike Thrower, which was teased by Zoffi as being a quote, new high damage weapon, which, when thrown at the right moment, makes it easier to hit larger targets, end quote. Tim Geddes, how does all this sound to you?
Sounds cool. It does sound a little overwhelming. Like, I feel like even in Horizon 1, like, there was a lot of customization, and it's the type of stuff that doesn't really speak to me. Like, all this workbench stuff, I am happy that people like that. I am usually not a big fan. Like, even recently playing Guardians, it was like, all right, cool. This doesn't really feel like it's actually adding to the game or adding to my experience much. Mm-hmm. But I do like what they're saying here about the focus on, like, different weapons being necessary for different kind of situations, and like a bigger focus on making the weapons kind of stand out themselves. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm all about that too. And I like they didn't include it here in this specific write-up, but they also talked a little bit about the machines. Now they're going for more variation in terms of the machines that come at you. And I like the idea that you're going to have to adapt a lot and figure out, like, okay, and it's similar to Horizon Zero Dawn to some extent, where you see a different type of dinosaur machine creature and you're like, cool, my blobber is going to work better for this thing, or this type of strategy is going to work better for this thing. I like what they mentioned here too, in terms of giving the weapons a stronger personality, allowing players to draw upon their strengths in given situations, which makes me believe that, okay, cool, it's not going to be a one size fits all in terms of you have to use this for this machine, you have to use this for this machine. It seems like you're going to have various options in terms of how you want to deal with stuff. And for a game like this that is about your arsenal and is about, like, I guess, freedom of exploration and freedom of how you're going to approach gameplay, I think that's really cool that they're like, cool, people like using certain types of weapons. Let's give them the freedom to choose the kind of weapons that they want to use and then build on that. And that does make me more excited for the workbench stuff. I know that that is very much to each their own. Even as I look in chat, there's folks who are like, oh, I don't like crafting. I'm sure other folks would be like, oh, I love crafting. I'm somebody who, in this type of game, I'm totally down to see where that goes. You know, I think there's plenty of good places they can take that with in terms of taking any of the weapons they mentioned here, and like the spike thrower, and adding more upgrades on top of it until I min-max it and have it be in its most powerful form, and then going to a friend, talking to them, asking them how they played, and they're like, oh, I upgraded my shield wing or whatever it's called, so it could actually like knock down enemies or whatever. I love that type of stuff, and so I'm all in for that.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. Do you think it actually hits in February?
Yes, I think so. I don't. Well, I mean, we had this conversation a little bit before in terms of breaking down what February looks like for video games. And out of all the games coming out in February, I think Horizon Forbidden West is one of the ones that has the most advantage by sticking. You know, I think there's a little bit more to lose there in terms of they've already delayed Horizon Forbidden West into February. People have already been waiting for it for a while. And God of War is coming out, or is announced to come out, later next year, right? With that being the case, I think you'd want to give Horizon Forbidden West as much space as possible to breathe and be the shining star of the PlayStation 5 before God of War comes out. And like, that's given the fact that God of War could easily probably slip into 2023. I'd be surprised if God of War hits in 2022, but I think Horizon Forbidden West needs that space to like get the hype, get that the conversation. You know, like I'm sure this is one of the games that PlayStation is going to want to push as a game of the year contender, right? Like one of the biggest games of the year. And I think with that, you want to give it that space and allow it to shine, right, earlier on in the year. That said, when you look at everything else coming out in February, is releasing Horizon Forbidden West at the same time as Elden Ring, is that going to be a good call, right? Especially when you have other games like Saints Row and Dying Light and others coming out in February as well. I don't know how much PlayStation cares about that necessarily.
I don't think they need to with Horizon. I think that there's like a level of just tentpole for some of these PlayStation titles that it doesn't even matter what they're releasing next to. It might matter for the other games, but I don't think it matters for something like Horizon that has already demonstrated that its sales potential. And this one is so much more exciting. Like there are so many more people that are stoked on this than were going into Horizon. What was the first one called? Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
But that's for obvious reasons. It was a new IP, right? With this, it's like there's a known quantity. Everyone has an understanding of what they're getting. And it's an exciting new thing for PlayStation 5. So everybody that has a PlayStation 5 is looking forward to this game.
How do you think it lands on a readiness level? Do you think they have it prepared for February?
I don't know. I mean, like that's the thing is we're just in such a weird place where it totally could move out of February. And I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if this game ends up coming out in June. But I also think that February could totally work. I don't think that Sony has proven that even in a pre-pandemic time, they don't really care about putting their games out too close to each other. Like we've had a couple months where it's like we got Last of Us Part Two and then Ghost like the month after. You know what I mean? Like they I think understand what they have, and they have tentpole. They have these events that everybody's just going to drop what they're doing to make sure that they're part of that zeitgeist moment. We'll have to see how the rest of the library kind of shakes out, but it's exciting that February is not that far away. And like, we'll know soon.
Are you surprised that we haven't seen more gameplay at this point? You know, for a game that is a few months away at this point, we've gotten that original reveal. Was it last year? Was it at the PlayStation PS5 showcase? We got a reveal there, and we've gotten, of course, the state of play and some good like gameplay tidbits. But I feel like for an open world game that is as content heavy as Horizon is, do you feel like we're due for more before launch, or do you think this is part of the course for PlayStation?
I think that it's part of the course at this point, especially when we know that they've had their state of plays. Like we've seen a dedicated Horizon state of play, and that was before the delay. But we still have Game Awards coming up. I imagine we'll see a trailer there, just kind of reminding people like, yo, this is coming and it's coming soon. But besides that, I think that for this type of sequel, the way they're handling it of having these PlayStation blog updates is, I think, good. Like this is the right way to kind of like not overwhelm, not get people death looped out on this game that, in all honesty, I bet they themselves aren't entirely locked into that February date. So they're like, let's be careful about how we market this and how hard we push this, because we might have to restart the entire marketing cycle over.
Yeah, I think we definitely see something. If it for sure hits in February, we definitely see something in the next couple of months. And I would think that is either like you said, Game Awards or a state of play, or both. Like PlayStation has done a good job of doing the individual state of plays leading into certain game releases, especially in the last year, leading into a lot of the launch slate and like stuff that's close to the launch slate of PS5. They did a state of play for Demon's Souls. That was a bit lower key, but it happened. They did a state of play, I think, for Destruction All-Stars. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Yeah, they did.
Correct about that. Yeah. And so like they've been doing that, though they have slowed down on that a bit in the last year. And I don't know if that's just that we've not had big PlayStation first party titles. Actually, they did it for Ratchet and Clank, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I feel like they've hit every single one of their big games. Did they do one for Returnal?
Oh, I'm kind of funny.com/you're wrong. I don't remember them doing one for Returnal. I remember there being PlayStation blogs, but I don't remember there being a state of play. And the reason also, the other things I would bring up would be, and maybe this is just different to them, right? The director's cuts, which for sure would be different to them to some extent, and then Deathloop, which didn't really get a specific state of play. Those aren't PlayStation. Well, Deathloop isn't a PlayStation Studios first party title, and then also the director's cuts are director's cuts. So do you need state of play for those? I think that is the thing. But yeah, like if Horizon Forbidden West follows suit with those other games, then you would think that we will get a state of play in January.
State of Play is such a fucking weird thing, but like a Horizon specific one, I imagine late January, early February.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, I think the way to do it too could be a Game Awards trailer, and that leads into a State of Play later in December, because PlayStation doesn't shy away from December.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna want to do December, that especially with the holidays and with everything there. Like in terms of marketing announcement, like if the game was coming out in December, that'd be one thing. But it coming out in February, I don't think that they'd want to.
I think it's too early.
Get too tangled in that stuff. Like they have a perfectly good January to use.
Tim, let's keep talking about some highly anticipated video games. Story number two, Mass Effect 4's latest artwork teases the return of the Geth. I'm pulling from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. And Kevin, I have a link to the image that they teased out at the top of the story in the doc if you want to pull that up as I read through. BioWare has marked its annual N7 Day by publishing a new piece of Mass Effect 4 artwork. The poster, which is the first teaser released for the new Mass Effect since last year's announcement trailer, shows a crater shaped like a Geth. The Geth are the machine race and main antagonist in the first three games. BioWare first revealed it was working on a new Mass Effect game in November 2020 with the release of a teaser trailer. In addition to the new game, Mass Effect Legendary Edition was released for consoles and PC earlier this year. According to publisher EA, Legendary Edition sales far exceeded its pre-release forecast. Quote, "The launch of Mass Effect Legendary Edition, the remaster of the first three Mass Effect games, reignited the passion of fans around the world, driving sales performance well above our expectations," end quote. EA CEO Andrew Wilson said in August. Tim, first of all, do you have any reaction to this teaser artwork? And then also, where are you at with Mass Effect leading into Mass Effect 4?
I'm not a Mass Effect guy. I think this artwork is dope as fuck. I love this. Mass Effect will continue. This is hype. This is them like understanding what they have. And like they're going back to the basics, it seems. They're going back to what people want from Mass Effect. So hell yeah. I can't believe this game is real, honestly. But they're doing it. Shout out to EA. We'll see if it's good. We'll see when we get it. But I think they're handling this right so far.
Yeah, so far I think they're handling it right. This artwork does look dope, and like, you know, I think Mass Effect Legendary Edition did a lot in terms of regaining a lot of goodwill for Spyware in general and Mass Effect, because Spyware has had a rough last generation when you look at Mass Effect Andromeda, Anthem, and like, you know, that is coming off of BioWare being the Mass Effect studio, right? With the Mass Effect trilogy being some of people's favorite games of all time. I think this one has a lot to do in terms of trying to regain that ground and bring fans back in and have fans actually trust in the studio in a way that allows them to get excited for this game and get hyped for it. I think they're taking the right steps. I'm sure plenty of people look at this and go, oh shit, the Geth? Okay, let's fucking go. You know, that is what I know from the Mass Effect trilogy. Like, I know that's going to do a lot for people, but yeah, I wonder what the hype levels would be like for this if there wasn't Anthem and Andromeda. And I wonder if it matters, right? I wonder if fans are like, well, no, this is new Mass Effect, so I'm going to be excited regardless.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we had the answer to that question because Andromeda happened and people were extremely hyped about it. It wasn't until it came out that the kind of, you know, talk around it was a little more muted and like it's not like it was the worst thing ever, but people seem to definitely not like it as much as the trilogy. And then Anthem kind of coming in, that was a, you know, major paradigm shift for EA. Like, I feel like they just went further and further down the toilet for so long, but then they're starting like with a lot of the Respawn teamwork, I feel like they've kind of been course correcting a bit, and this is kind of on that course corrected path in my mind, where they are making the right calls or at least announcing the right projects. Like, I think it's cool that on N7 Day they put this out, because a lot of game celebrations like tee up big, or not big, but they just like
tee up something
and then don't deliver. This is something, right? Like, this is delivering like an actual like thing to be excited about. Sure, it's not a trailer, sure it's not a release date, sure it's not like the biggest thing, but like, I like this. I think it's cool, and I think it is speaking directly to the people they need to speak to.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. We're coming off of Last of Us Day, and I remember me and Greg doing a KHD in terms of, all right, what are they going to announce on Last of Us Day, because they're teasing something. And the whole conversation me and Greg had was, hey, level those expectations, like bring that down a little bit, because it is going to be some merch. It is going to be nothing of what you'd expect in terms of a new movie trailer, or like possibly a new movie trailer at best, or not movie, HBO series trailer at best, right? But like even that for me would have been a surprise, right? Don't expect factions, don't expect a new Last of Us tease, don't expect much, because usually when it comes to these big like video game days, right, Outbreak Day or Last of Us Day, N7 Day, Mario Day, usually it is something along the lines of like, here's a shirt, here's some, yeah, I don't know, man, plumber pants for Mario. Like, here's some random shit that, like, isn't going to get you hyped.
You want them plumber pants?
Dude, I'll rock them plumber pants. That sounds fire. But for them releasing this teaser, I think speaks to them actually caring to some extent, right? Them actually being like, cool, this is an opportunity to give fans something. And I know this is a crumb. Like, this is very much a crumb. But this crumb has been doing a lot for people, right? I've been going through my timeline, and the people that are super into Mass Effect are taking this. They're zooming in. They're looking at that the crew that's in the picture. They're looking at the Geth thing and are thinking, like, is this the Geth? Is this not the Geth? Is this something completely different from the Geth? There's a lot of conversation happening around what all this is, in the same way that, you know, for to like relate this to something that I know me and you, Tim, are super into, the Spider-Man No Way Home poster dropped yesterday. And the first thing I did was zoom in to figure out who are the villains here.
Show me that mask. Let me see that goblin mask.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's Green Goblin right there. Those are obviously like Doc Ock's tentacles. That electric volt right there is definitely from Electro, right? Like, who are all the villains that are represented here? And what's missing, because there's a lot of space on this poster. You know, we get into it, and I know the Mass Effect fans are very much getting into it in the same exact way. And so, really, like, good for y'all. Shout out to y'all. I still got to get back to Legendary Edition, because I loved playing Mass Effect 1, and I know 2 and 3 are going to blow me away, because people say that 2 and 3 are better than... Well, people say 2 is better than 1. I know people are kind of mixed on 3, but I can't wait to get back into that, because goddamn that game. Tim, let's see story number 3. Let's talk about more games that get us hype. Games like Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3, even though it is sad news. Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 are being removed from digital stores. I am pulling from Luke Plunkett at Kotaku. Konami just announced that both Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 3 are being taken down from online storefronts after issues emerged with, quote, licenses for select historical archive footage used in-game, end quote. The company's full statement reads, quote, thank you for playing the Metal Gear series. We're currently working on renewing the licenses for select historical archive footage used in-game. Therefore, we have made the temporary decision to begin suspending the sale of Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, and all products that include these games from digital storefronts globally starting from November 8th, 2021. We sincerely ask for your patience and understanding as we work towards making these products available for purchase once again. Thank you for your continued support for the Metal Gear series, end quote. The takedowns not only include those two games, but collections that include them as well. So in addition to MGS 2 and MGS 3 disappearing, Konami are also removing Metal Gear Solid HD Edition from sale as well. Tim, that's a sad one.
Yeah, damn. This is a bummer, and this is just the sad realities of how licensing works and how things like archival footage can just completely neuter your experience being able to get these games. Like, that, this sucks, but I do like that Konami is being transparent about it. They're letting people know exactly what's going on, and they use the word temporary. I think that that's key. I think that if they didn't have this information, these were just pulled, we'd all be like in a flurry thinking like, shit, remasters are coming. What's happening? Or like, you know, remakes or whatever. But like the GTA trilogy, we just saw a lot of the older versions of that being taken down, but that's to make room for this new version. So this is sad news, but I do think that they're going to hopefully get it taken care of in a timely fashion. But I mean, that's not surprising, because there is a lot of like real world footage in those games, like more than I remembered when I was watching you guys stream. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah, like I actually pulled from real world footage in those games, which is like, one, really cool and impressive for the time. But then also, yeah, it leads to things like this where licenses expire. And like, this is part of, I think, what makes the digital revolution scary. Like, I get excited for digital games. I play all my games digital now, or I buy all my games digital now when I have the opportunity to. And there are so many benefits to digital, but this is one of the things that kind of sucks about it, is that, like, I remember there being a thing for a GTA 4 with the soundtrack there, where I forget the exact details of it, because it was a little bit of a while ago, but I remember that game either coming down off storefronts or being unavailable for a while because of music in the soundtrack. And that is a thing that is going to continue happening, right? Like, that is something that like that is something that is very specific to digital games and digital availability. You don't have to worry about that with physical games, right? Like my physical version of a game isn't going to disappear. I can go to a GameStop and get a used physical version of a game, or like even a new physical version of games that have come out in recent years, right? I don't have to worry about shit disappearing and me just not having not being able to buy it all of a sudden.
With that though, like I feel like we're hitting a point that even that's not true anymore because of the way that games need updates and patches and all that stuff. Like if you buy the physical version of the game, you need to like specifically go out of your way to make sure you're not updating it if you want songs to stay. Like we're gonna enter a future where you're just gonna be screwed, and like that's just the reality of where we're at with stuff, which kind of sucks. But I do think that there is more interest than ever in making sure that like this isn't a problem going forward, where there is a lot more understanding of how to properly do licensing and also actively chasing down those licenses to make sure they don't expire and all that, as we're seeing here. They could have just not done that.
Oh yeah.
Could have just, you know.
And the word they use, temporary, gives me a lot of hope that, yeah, we'll see this stuff sooner than later. And like it is a bit of a bummer that it is all of a sudden you can't get these games. Like there's not even like a week's notice for people who are like, oh shit, we got to go jump on this thing right now so I can own it. You know, like, I mean, Barrett right now for our playthrough, right? Barrett for Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 was playing the HD collection off of Xbox, and that's not going to be available all of a sudden. If this happened a year ago and it didn't get fixed, then we would either not be able to play Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3, or we would have to find some weird, difficult way to play it, right? I would have to deliver him my PS2 or some shit, or we would have to, like, finagle something. And so, you know, I hope this gets fixed. I'm glad to see that they are being transparent about it. And, yeah, like, you know, in chat, there's somebody who mentioned, like, why don't we see more deals that are just permanent, in terms of, hey, yeah, we're permanently licensing these things. And I mean, I think part of that is Kojima weirdness in terms of the type of shit he puts in his games. You gotta remember, like, Metal Gear Solid has a lot of shit that like other games don't have. This type of thing, especially in like the early 2000s, is probably one of those things where Kojima looked at that and was like, 10 years from now, we won't have to worry about this. Yeah, we'll license it 10 years. We're not going to be selling this game 10 years from now. And then lo and behold, we're still selling that game 10 years from now. I think this is one of those things. And like even talking about MGS4, we started our MGS4 playthrough on during Extra Life, which is available right now, youtube.com. It's Kind of Funny Plays, if you want to watch part one of our MGS4 playthrough with Mike and Barrett and Tamor and all the crew. And that game has some obscene shit in it in terms of licensing. They have a playable iPod in that game, Tim. iPod that works. And you go through and you collect iPod songs. That is the collectible in that game, is iPod songs.
And the moment I got Calling to the Night, I never listened to another song. Every situation is better with Calling to the Night playing. Every single one.
I could not imagine the hoops you jump through and the what that document looks like with Kojima and Apple to allow them to put that in the game. And I'm sure that probably has some expiration to it. I'm sure, like, maybe that is one of the reasons why that game is stuck on the PS3, right? Like, it is incredible some of the lengths they go through with some of those games. But yeah, I figure that is something that's going to get fixed. My question is, Tim, for you, do you think they fix it by actually getting that stuff licensed, or do you think they like censor it or replace it or some shit?
I think that they are intending to get the license, and
I hope so.
I would go back to how it was. I don't think they're trying to change or censor it. I think that I would be a last ditch effort. There's no way that these games don't end up back on the store. Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 are some of the most re-released games of all time. They're going to want to make that money as long as possible.
We got to get an MGS4 on that list. Before we get into our next news story, I want to remind folks that, remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames.
Wait, why don't we do the next story first?
Let's do the next story first before we actually do the ads. Story number 4, Ubisoft has announced pay raises to stop developers from leaving. This is Ethan Gotch at Kotaku. Ubisoft's Canadian studios announced pay raises for staff at the Assassin's Creed and Far Cry publisher to combat an exodus by many of its most senior developers, Kotaku has learned. While the raises are across the board, sources tell Kotaku that those who currently earn the most will see the biggest increases, prompting criticism that the new benefits will reinforce existing inequalities at the studios. Ubisoft Canada, which leads development on many of the company's biggest blockbusters like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Far Cry 6, and Watch Dogs Legion, consists of offices in Montreal, Quebec City, Toronto, Chicoutimi, Halifax, and Winnipeg. The new pay raises are set to go into effect immediately and will begin being paid out at the end of November. Employees will also be receiving more vacation days and better pay during parental leave. Quote, they're desperately trying to hold on to what few experienced devs are still here, one current developer in the Canadian studios told Kotaku. But the exact amount of the raises will vary depending on the employee's position at the company, sources said. According to the worker group, A Better Ubisoft, junior staff will receive a 5-7% increase, while the most senior staff could see their pay increased by up to 20%. That would mean a lower-level developer might see a $50,000 a year salary increased by $2,500, while higher-level developers making $100,000 could see as much as $20,000 in additional pay. Quote, these moves do absolutely nothing to address the key demands of A Better Ubisoft, the group told Kotaku in an email statement. Quote, in addition, by weighting the pay rises enormously in favor of senior staff, management are exacerbating the gap between the highly and low paid workers, end quote. A Better Ubisoft sent a letter to management earlier this year demanding changes to workplace misconduct, reporting processes, and worker involvement in decision-making about how the company evolves following widespread reports of sexual misconduct and toxicity at the company that began emerging in mid-2020. The group renewed its calls for a, quote, seat at the table last week with a petition asking fans and other developers for support. Tim, what's your reaction to all this?
First off, I think the petition is an important thing to talk about. Like, that is definitely something you should go to twitter.com/betterubisoft.
Yep.
You can go there, check it out. Like, there's a petition that you can sign. You can read through and see what the demands are. And I think it's just interesting to kind of like have that knowledge of what it is that asks are, what asks are being asked, and then applying that to seeing this and seeing what actions are being taken. I don't necessarily think that this is a one-for-one response to those demands. I just think that this is Ubisoft making decisions to better its workplace. I don't think that this is necessarily the absolute correct way to do it, but I do think that they're clearly trying. And is that trying because they're being forced to try? Sure, but that's a good sign. There's some positive momentum with this, but I do think that this the petition is going to help snowball the efforts over time with the amount of direct calls to action that they're looking for. And I think that that is a huge step for these type of things that I think can get really complicated with these topics that are very complicated.
Yeah. I love seeing what A Better Ubisoft is doing. And yeah, that petition was gaining a lot of steam over the last week, and I was seeing more and more people share it. And yeah, it is super important to be able to see that, to see what the exact demands are, so that when we get responses like this, we're able to look and go, no, this isn't what we wanted. This isn't what Ubisoft wanted. This isn't what the workers wanted, or what people are demanding. And yeah, like to see this move, it's one of those mixed bags where I'm sure to some extent people who are some of the lower paid workers at Ubisoft go, well, like, money's money, and so I guess I'll take it, even though it is a bummer. But yeah, when you take that and compare it to the higher paid staff and what their increases are looking like, and what that does in terms of creating this fissure between the higher paid workers and the lower paid workers there, and allowing the higher paid workers to get, you know, meaningful rises, meanwhile the lower paid workers are getting like, all right, well, $2,500 a year, it's whatever. That is a bummer, and you know, I do think that that strikes me as a pretty much what the quote here says from the developer that spoke to Kotaku, right? They're desperately trying to hold on to what few experienced devs are still here. That to me does sound like a move of, we want to keep our senior staff. Like, give the lower paid staff something so that like we can say that, hey, we took steps to increase pay. Hey, we're taking care of our employees. When really, what it seems like is going on here is them going, no, we can't keep losing people. Like, we need to keep some of these higher paid staff because they know what they're doing, and we need them to actually make this company go and run.
Yeah, I mean, the positive way to look at that, though, the same thing you just said, is that hopefully it is keeping the right people, and that these junior people can then move on to become the senior people at some point as well, like make a better kind of like track for them to be able to have that type of career growth. Like, all of that, I think, is a better potential future for Ubisoft, and they just need to keep making more choices like this and more decisions and standing by them while also listening to the demands at some point.
Exactly. Kevin, how are you looking in terms of ads?
Super ready.
Super ready? All right, well, I hope you guys are super ready to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Arcane, a Netflix original series from the creators of League of Legends. Arcane is a 9-episode, 3-part series that follows the story of two young girls, Vi and Powder, born in the Undercity beneath Piltover. Their eagerness to prove themselves will set in motion a series of events that will take the relationship to its breaking point and transform them forever. This is going to be the animation event of the year, and you can catch champions we know and love like never before, and their stories will all intertwine in this action-packed series. Whether you're a longtime League player or brand new to Runeterra, Arcane is a great way to get to know the vast world and origins of iconic characters of League of Legends. Dive into the stories behind one of the most played games of all time. Every once in a while, I think about that and it blows my mind. Discover the secrets of Piltover and its Undercity and prepare for the epic battle that is only just beginning. Arcane is now streaming exclusively on Netflix. Next up, shout out to Credit Karma. Is it time for a big change? If you're thinking about home renovations or finally paying down those old credit card bills, Credit Karma can help find a loan that works for you. Whether you're refinancing credit card debt or paying for an upcoming expense, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you fresh personal loan offers that are personalized just for you. It's totally free and easy to sign up for a Credit Karma account with no effect on your credit score. On Credit Karma, you can check out multiple loan offers side by side with easy to compare estimated terms to make sure you get the best deal. And once you've got a loan, Credit Karma will help you track your progress as you pay off your debt and even let you know if you can refinance and save. If you're ready to apply, you should head over to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers with your approval odds right now. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the right loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers. Next up, shout out to Shin Megami Tensei 5. It's the newest installment in the acclaimed JRPG series developed by Atlus. You play as a high school student who is suddenly transported from modern-day Tokyo to a post-apocalyptic world. Granted a cursed power to save his life, the protagonist becomes a new being, neither human nor demon. Nahobino. So there you go. Explore the demon-infested wasteland of an enigmatic realm known as Da'at, filled with mythical deities and demonic tyrants in constant conflict for survival. Search for answers and forge your own path in a battle between light and dark. Your choices will dictate the fate of the world. Turn formidable foes into worthy allies by recruiting them, then fuse them to create demons customized to your playstyle. Shin Megami Tensei 5 has been fully rendered in 3D, a first for the mainline Shin Megami Tensei series. Shin Megami Tensei 5 is out now. You can check out the digital, deluxe, and standard editions on the Nintendo eShop or by clicking in the link in the description. And finally, shout out to Raycon. It's never too early to start holiday shopping, especially not when you can save big on a gift that they'll use every day, like the Raycon wireless earbuds. My brother's been using these. He's been training for his marathon, and he's been jamming with the Raycons. With seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise-isolating fit, you can start listening easily and keep listening for hours. The audio quality is just as good as a bunch of the other premium brands, but at half the price. Their new everyday earbuds come with 3 new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best. Pure, more balanced mode, and bass mode. And with 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, you can't lose. Go to buyraycon.com/KFGD today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available only for a limited time and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/KFGD to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. Buyraycon.com/KFGD.
One of the guys in that ad in the visual looked like Ray J when I clicked back. Like, I was just like looking through the doc to see what the next story was, and I clicked back to Discord and I just see a face that looks almost like Ray J's. So shout out to that guy. I hope he's doing well. Story number 5, we got some details on Elden Ring's performance modes. I'm pulling from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. Bandai Namco has detailed Elden Ring's performance modes and confirmed ray tracing support on new gen consoles and PC.
Hold up, Wes.
What's up?
That was Ray J.
It was Ray J?
Because they're Raycons.
Oh my god.
Raycons.
Yeah.
Wait, is that Ray J thing?
He's the Ray.
I didn't know that. Holy cow. I did not know that Raycon was Ray J.
I was pretty sure that was the case, but I didn't want to like.
What? Are you serious? Wait, hold on. Hold on. Are those the same earbuds that I have?
Yeah. I think.
Ugh. Wait, no, I think they might have different ones.
No, those are different. Those are different.
So
funny. Wow, I did not know that Ray J was like living it up like that. Good for Ray J. Good for Ray J. Wow. Holy cow. That's funny. Did you ever see the clip where It's probably bad for Afrinat. But like, you see the clip where Ray J is like in an interview and he's like wearing his sunglasses. And like, Ray J is like, oh yeah, I got
don't
this.
Don't spoil it.
Yeah, people go check.
I want to find the video. We'll watch it later.
Which, if I'm being completely honest, probably not good for that being an ad to play this video. But it is content gold, and so I am totally down to watch this video on air to risk it for the biscuit. But Tim, find that. I'm going to do this next news story. Again, story number 5, you've got some Elden Rings performance stuff. Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. Bandai Namco has detailed Elden Rings performance modes and confirmed ray tracing. Now I can't say ray tracing and take it seriously. Is ray tracing Ray J 2?
It is.
Is he responsible for the technology? Oh my god, he can't be stopped. Confirmed ray tracing support on new gen consoles and PC.
God damn it.
God, it's hot in my room all of a sudden. PS4 Pro, PS5, Xbox Series X, and S versions of the From Software title will ship with performance and resolution modes, while ray tracing will be added to PS5, Series X, and PC via an update, though it's not clear if this will be in time for release. As with most new-gen titles, performance priority mode will adjust screen resolution and load balance to approach 60fps, Bandai Namco has said. Resolution priority mode will load balance functions at a fixed max resolution with a lower limit of 30fps. Quote, there are differences in the display of grass and other ground objects depending on the console, the publisher said. Both PS5 and Xbox Series X will run at a resolution of 4K in resolution mode and 60fps in performance mode. Sorry, keep
God damn it. I was looking at you and I'm like, I see that giggle. It's about to break.
I was holding it in. I was struggling so hard holding that in. In terms of cross-gen support, Elden Ring can be ported between both Xbox console generations and save data can be transferred. The PS4 version can be ported to the PS5 and save data can be transferred, but the PS5 version cannot be ported backwards to the PS4. That's cool. Good for Elden Ring. I want that game to look fantastic because Demon's Souls looks fantastic, and Souls games, specifically the ones I played, when they run at 60fps, they are immaculate, and I cannot wait to play this in performance mode. Tim, they call me Performance Poppy nowadays. That's the new name.
Poppy, blessing. Oh yeah, dude.
Performance Poppy. Yeah, that's what they call me now in the streets, and I cannot wait to play Elden Ring in performance mode.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have this Ray J video?
Kevin, I do. Kevin, you ready to bring it up?
Yeah, but like, I thought we were waiting till afterwards.
Well, now, okay. You know, bless seed it up. It's all good.
Let's go.
All right, everyone, let's go.
They're unbreakable.
Unbreakable?
We can't hear it, Kev.
Break them.
I can hear it.
No, you step on them.
Yeah, you okay. Gotta mute it. You gotta
got it, got it, got it, got it, yeah. Got it.
This is Ray J talking about his glasses, by the way, in an interview.
Posting the glasses.
They're unbreakable.
Unbreakable?
They're test unbreakable. Break them.
Step on it right now.
No, you step on them.
It's your product.
You step on them.
Go ahead.
Speedy step on them.
I can't do that.
You can.
I bet you I can break these.
They're unbreakable.
Speedy. They're not unbreakable. Speedy. Don't tell me they're unbreakable. Listen, Don't challenge me. Don't challenge me, Rachel. They're break them.
Listen, Speedy, they're unbreakable. They cannot break. It's impossible.
The confidence.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I love that clip so much. I've watched that clip so many times.
Speedy, they're unbreakable. They cannot break. They cannot break, Speedy.
They cannot break. They're unbreakable. He just snaps.
Oh, I love it.
I don't care.
Oh, the I don't care gets me. I love that so much. Shout out to Ray J. Let's round this out with our last news story. Story number 6. Do we have the name for the next Sonic game? Remember, this was it like a year ago at this point? It was early this year where we got the trailer for the next Sonic game with the 2022 thing on it. This morning, Nibel at Nibelian on Twitter tweeted out, Sega has trademarked the name Sonic Frontiers. Now, is that related to this next Sonic game? Is that something else? Who knows? Tim, what's up?
I am 99% sure that we already knew this name. So the news here is just that it's trademarked. But like, okay. There was something data mined or something from that trailer that people were talking about Sonic Frontiers, of what it was going to be. A little more open world and all that stuff.
Interesting. I'm looking it up right now. Wow, I'm looking at a blog, like a forum post from like 2004 that says, what happened to Sonic Frontiers? Which is weird. Has Sonic Frontiers been a thing for like over a either way, like they've trademarked it. I guess that is the news here. And Tim, did you remember this happening? Did you remember there was a new Sonic game? Because I forgot about it, and I love
Sonic.
Oh,
yeah. I did remember. But I don't know. It didn't look great from the little we saw. It's not going in the direction of what I want to see from Sonic games. But, I like Sonic, and I just want him to succeed.
Sam, I'm right there with you. Sonic Frontiers also has Sonic Forces energy to the title, which I don't love. I don't like that Sonic Forces was very... Oh, you got the chain. You got the Sonic chain right there. You have it. Hold on. Let me see. No, my drawer is too filled with crap. My chain is somewhere in that drawer, but it's going to take me like 50 God. Seconds to dig it out.
Am I supposed to pull this up? I feel like... Was this not a provided link?
Oh, I put it in there just as a reminder in case Tim had forgotten about this Sonic trailer, because I had to go back and watch it. I had to be like, oh yeah, what was that? And I forgot that it was like this. Our conversation about this when this trailer first came out was, are they doing it? Is this like a new Sonic? This doesn't look like classic Sonic or modern Sonic. What Sonic is this? Which has me excited because I do want them to kind of reinvent Sonic. And so
yeah,
if this next game is something completely different, I'm really hyped about it then.
Yeah, we'll see.
Tim, I'm very excited to see what the next Sonic ends up being. Whether it's called Sonic Frontiers or not, who knows? But
who knows?
The reveal of that is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah.
That might be one of the funniest videos of all time. It has such Kevin energy, doesn't it?
Like, it does. Break them.
I would have already, like, if I had glasses that I thought were unbreakable, I would have tried my absolute hardest to break them. You know, like it wouldn't have been a surprise that they snap in half to me.
Just the fact that I'm not going to be able to read the word ray tracing anymore without like smiling. I hate it so much. Out today, we got Gravity Light for Switch. We have one new date for you. Super UFO Fighter.
Sorry.
It's okay. Super UFO Fighter beams down to Earth on January 13th for Switch and PC. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. You can also write in with your questions, just like Jeffrey P. Long did, except Jeffrey P. Long didn't write in with a question. Jeffrey P. Long wrote in with something special. Jeffrey P. Long wrote in to say this. I know this isn't the place for this, but I'm so excited. I just got engaged to my girlfriend of 7 years, and we are so happy. We are so happy and so stoked, and I just wanted to share that. I know you don't normally share this sort of thing on KFGD, and that's totally okay. I just wanted to share it with someone, even if it's just only you two, Bless and Tim. Congratulations, Jeffrey P. Long.
That is awesome. Dude, that's awesome. So cool.
As congratulations, of course, you know Jeffrey P. Long from being a Patreon producer, and Greg saying the P in his name more than he needs to. Jeffrey P. Long. Shout out to Jeffrey P. Long. And yeah, that isn't it for the Patreon.com. It's just kind of funny game shenanigans, though. We do have a squad up this week, or today, I should say. Jeff the Maverick wrote in with a squad up on PS5 and PC and says, looking to squad up and play some Vanguard with best friends. I live on the best coast, West Coast, and mainly game on the weekends when I can get a break from work and the kids. If you want to play some Vanguard with the homie Jeff the Maverick, you can add them on PS5 or PC. I believe this is probably their Activision accounts, since they're giving both those platforms. Jeff the Maverick is their username. Jeff the Maverick. Even though I think the Activision account has like numbers to it too. So I'm going to say this is probably their PSN. Jeff the Maverick, that is Jeff the Maverick. Remember, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in list of what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here. Oh, man, we got a lot of context added. Rollis Racer writes in and says, hey, Bless and Tim, Returnal did have a state of play. It premiered February 25th, 2021. Deathloop also had a state of play, not an exclusively dedicated state of play, but one focused on Deathloop in July. Just like the one that was focused on Little Devil Inside, which, yeah, I was talking about the specific, like, exclusive, we're talking about this game only, but thank you for that, Rollis Racer. Let's see. Nano writes in and says, GTA 4 is pulled from in-game stores twice, once because it ran out of Steam keys, the second time in 2020 because of games for Windows Live, and additional keys could not be generated after Windows pulled support for that platform. Thank you for that, Nano. I could have sworn that game was pulled at some point because of soundtrack, but maybe I am conflating it with something else. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. Bandera SN saying the Sonic Celebrations was back in June. The name was Sonic Rangers. That's right. It wasn't Frontier that I was thinking of. Sonic Rangers was the rumored one.
I do like Sonic Rangers. That is a better name than Frontiers. And then
Rangers.
Missed new date. Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker expansion has been delayed by 2 weeks. The new date is December 4th. Thank you so much for that, Eric. Tim, today is Monday. That means we have a whole week ahead of us for Kinda Funny Games Daily hosts. Your week's host for Kinda Funny Games Daily will go like this. Tomorrow, it is me and Gary Witta. Wednesday, it is Tim and Andy. Thursday, it is Tim and Tamor for Tim TM Thursday. Then on Friday, it is me and Janet Garcia. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is It Takes Two. Well, actually, no, it's not It Takes Two. After this is some more of that Wales Interactive goodness. If you watched our Bloodshore stream a few days ago, you know that we had a fantastic time playing that game. And so Mike and Nick decided that they want to play some more Wales Interactive games. Those are FMV games that are choose your own adventure experiences, B tier like campy movie stuff. It is an awesome time. You do not want to miss the stream that's happening right after this. And of course, if you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.